Who were the Pharisees? Well, the Pharisees were a lay order, meaning a non-ordained group of people that dedicated themselves to faithful observance of the law and to a life of study and of prayer. So why is it then that in stories such as today's Pharisee and the Tax Collector, or I prefer the oldie Englishy version, the Pharisee and the Publican, that Pharisees are often held up as the bad guys, the hypocrites, the foil to Jesus or the subject of his critique? It is slightly odd that the Pharisees become the bête noire of Jesus when, to all intents and purposes, they are similar in their concerns to Jesus. Jesus wants faithful observance of the law, a law dedicated to justice, equity, and healing. Jesus proclaims a state of being, a kingdom where shalom, healing, wholeness, and peace is primary, the reign of God to which the Pharisees were dedicated. And writings we have from around the time of Jesus seem to suggest that the majority of Pharisees were indeed faithful, compassionate, devoted people trying to make the principles of Hebraic law real in their lives. So why do the Gospels make such a thing of the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and Jesus' repeated conflicts with them and the plotting that leads to Jesus' death, which is the work of the religious authorities according to the Gospels, including the Pharisees? Various biblical scholars and theologians have various musings as to why this might be the case. Of course they do. Certainly there have been some hypocrites in this religious, there may have been some hypocrites in these religious institutions, including the Pharisees. Indeed, there may have been many. And if Jesus is very not keen on injustice or exclusion and the ill treatment of people dressed up in religion, then he is going to be critical of anyone who is like that. But every Pharisee? One theory as to why the Pharisees are painted in such a bad light is that the Gospel writers found them to be, what I said earlier, a foil to Jesus, a helpful literary device to hold up as the bad guys. It's much easier to write with stories with stereotypes, so they become a shortcut to making a point as the stories evolve and are passed along and eventually collected by the Gospel writers. Another theory is that as the early Jesus movement is detaching itself, or itselves, as there are many different versions of it, from the synagogue movements, it was helpful, a helpful storyline to have, to push a bad religious authorities narrative in order to make out, to make leaving or being forced out of the mainstream Jewish movement more tolerable. And another theory, and one which I find convincing, is that as the Jesus movements are spreading through the empire, the targets for criticism become the Jewish people and their leaders rather than empire itself, in the hope these early Jesus followers would be freed from persecution and allowed to continue in their many and varied expressions. We see this in the growth of anti-Semitic storytelling in the Gospels, particularly, though by no means exclusively, in John's Gospel, to the point that John's Gospel goes even further than just saying the religious authorities were blamed. He says the Jews are those who killed Jesus, those who conspire, those of whom the disciples are afraid, locking themselves away after Jesus' crucifixion, quote unquote, for fear of the Jews. We soften it by explaining that it's a shorthand for the Jewish authorities, but evidence seems to point more towards that being a deliberate statement as John moves away to align with the empire, away from the Jewish people, perhaps because of the destruction of the temple and the destruction of Israel. All of this is to say that we must question our traditions and be willing to wrestle with those things which encourage prejudice. In the story in today's Gospel, we have Jesus saying that this particular fictional Pharisee was indeed full of himself and considered himself superior, And this particular fictional tax collector was expressing regret and sadness for what he had done and was willing to conduct a full examination of himself before God. But that is not how all tax collectors and Pharisees were. And it's always dangerous to form groups of people into homogeneous blobs. All men do this. All women do this. All trans people do the other. All non-binary people do this. All the blacks, the Latinx, the indigenous, Asians, brown people, Arabs, Jewish people, they are all alike, etc., etc., etc. That is just a vehicle for prejudice and a way of dehumanizing others in order that we don't feel guilty about mistreating or harming them. The way some parts of the Gospels portray Pharisees does not represent who the Pharisees were. And the way that some of the Christian scriptures represent the Jewish people is not an accurate or an appropriate representation of who the Jewish people were or are, and has been used as a foundation for persecution, pogroms, and even a Holocaust. We have a duty to interrogate these texts and to call out the parts which encourage prejudice and persecution, and those parts where Jesus' message against empire are subverted by later writers. And Jesus and Paul's radical inclusion, which included women as ministers and companions, is subverted by those writing in the name of Paul, such as whoever wrote 1 and 2 Timothy and the book of Titus, which certainly was not Paul. This is why we must question and not allow those who like to use scripture to justify their hatred, their prejudice, their exclusion, their lack of empathy to dominate the narrative. Anne Lamott says it perfectly. We can tell we have made God in our own image when God hates all the same people we do. Let us instead seek out being in the image of God, the message of divine love, of divine liberation, of divine grace is the heart of our faith and the beginning and the end of our calling. Amen.